In my sort of near 27 years in the ministry, I've probably spent more time with folk who've been through a bereavement than most. And I find that no two people react the same way. But generally speaking, women cope better than men. Women are more practical. They're better at arranging things when it comes to that. And I think this seems to be the case if you look at the story in the Gospels. We can only truly appreciate Easter morning when we sort of look and see what has happened before. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples time and time again what was going to happen. It seemed as though they didn't take it in. Remember what we heard last week. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And they didn't seem to take on board that they were talking about, he was talking about his own death. But it's the women who are there that first Easter morning. And there's at least four of them, probably more. Matthew says a group of women, including Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, is there. Mark says Salome is there. Luke says Joanna is there also. Why are they going to the tomb? Well, they've already said, we're going to go there to anoint the body. Now, no man would ever have thought of doing that. No man would have wanted to do that. But even in death, these women wanted to do something for Jesus. And it's Mary Magdalene, I want to focus on this morning. Because we've got to try and appreciate what the followers of Jesus had been through the days that were leading up to his crucifixion. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. They've been attracted to his teaching, though much of it was hard to understand. They saw he spoke with authority. He seemed to love them with a compassion they'd never seen before. But he was connected to God the Father in a way that they had never seen from any person before. So they followed him. Some of them gave up their jobs and followed him. And they got to know him. And they got to love him. Our first fill-in this morning, we've got fill-in sheets in our orders of service for you. Fill-in number one is when Jesus died, their faith died. It's the first thing that happened. When Jesus died, their faith died. And really from then, the events of Holy Week, they just run downhill. The arrest, the trial, the abuse, the terrible crucifixion. And most, if not all, the disciples then fled. Peter, he was alone and distraught. Fear of arrest scattered the rest of them. Fill-in number two says, when Jesus died, their hope died. We've got a group of people whose faith has died. We've got a group of people whose faith also died. Because they'd hoped so much. They thought Jesus was going to be the one that was going to free them from the Romans. They thought he was going to bring in this new kingdom he kept talking about, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And the crucifixion just destroyed all that. But the followers of Jesus still had one thing to hold on to. Fill-in number three says, although Jesus died, their love for him remained. And that's why Mary and the other women were there that Sunday morning. Someone they loved had died, but their love for him remained, and they wanted to do something. I saw somebody do that yesterday. I get a great view over the cemetery. The number of people who were there yesterday putting flowers down or visiting graves. I don't know how long their loved ones have died, but they were there because they didn't want to forget. And this is what these women were there to do that Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene had witnessed everything that had happened to Jesus. She was there at the crucifixion. She would have heard the crowd shouting, baying for his blood to crucify him. She had witnessed the torture, the pain, the suffering, his death. She would have heard the last words that Jesus spoke. She would have experienced the sky turning dark. And she was there when he died. And she still hung around because she followed probably at a distance and watched where they put the body of Jesus. Even if they've taken my faith away, even if they've taken my hope away, she says, they will not take away my love. And that's why she's there on that first Easter morning. We'll anoint the body, the woman says. That's the least we can do. And the women reach the tomb and they see that somebody had rolled the stone away, and they're in such a state they hadn't even thought about that. Who's going to roll that heavy stone away? And somebody had done it. And they were a bit apprehensive. Could it have been grave robbers? Were the soldiers still there? We don't know. What do you do when you're in crisis like that? You find a man called John. And they go and get Peter and John, because they'll know what to do. And that's what Mary does. She goes to tell Peter and John. And it's while Mary was away getting them that the angels appeared to the other women. Mary tells Peter and John what has happened. And Peter, love Peter, what a guy. He's off like a shot. John's at his heels. They've forgotten about poor Mary. She's away at the back. Takes her a wee bit longer to get there. And she gets there and blow me. There's nobody there. That's the last straw. She's at a wit's end. She's totally drained. And all she can then do is just sit there and cry. Where have they gone? She gets there to the tomb and nobody's there. And then she sees that the tomb is empty and she goes ballistic. They've even taken his body. They couldn't even leave him alone in death. They tortured him. They crucified him. And now they're desecrating his grave. What kind of people are they? And she sat there and she wept. Woman, why are you crying? Taking my Lord away, she says, and I don't know where they've put him. And then she turns around, she sees the gardener. Maybe he knows. She's desperate. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him. She still wants to get the body. I'll get him. I just want to anoint his body. I just want to do one last thing for him. Is that too much to ask? And then one word. One word turns Mary's life upside down, and I hope one word turns your life upside down, because it turned my life upside down. One word. Mary! And she turns. And she recognizes who it is. And in that one word, her whole life is totally transformed. Because it wasn't only Jesus that was resurrected that first Easter morning. With the one word, Mary's dead and buried faith rose from the dead. With that one word, Mary's dead and buried hope burst into flames. With that one word, Mary, Mary's joy is resurrected from the tomb of tears. Because the hard thing we have got to see this morning is, because we know how the story ended before the crucifixion, the disciples had no idea that anything like that was going to happen. The women wanted to anoint the body. The fishermen, they went back to doing what they could do. They fished. Thomas, he just wanted to be alone. Peter was so angry with himself for denying Jesus. He was away in the huff. Poor Judas, he just hung himself. He should have hung on. There's a sermon title. Write that one down for me. Hang on, Judas, hang on. Because he should have done. None of them had any hope of resurrection. Why? Because dead men don't come back to life. We just know that. And those of us who are scientists or engineers, especially chemical engineers, top of the tree, Lynn and I, we know dead men don't come to life again. Unless the man you're speaking about is Jesus. Unless the man you're speaking about was raised from dead by the power of a God who has created everything that we can see. Unless this man Jesus put his whole life in this other being who said to him, that's what's going to happen. And that's why, irrespective of how logical you are, how much of an engineer you are, how much you want to go through the steps A, B, C of what happened, Jesus was raised to life again because we have a God who has the power to do that. That's why. And I've got enough faith to believe that at least one man, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. And that changed the whole life of these disciples. You know, we'll get round to studying Acts sometime. I think I promised about 4 sermon series already this year. It's not even me. Where's your hope? That's what I want to ask you this morning, in all seriousness. Where is your hope? What are you hoping in? Where's your faith? What are you believing in? What are you trusting in? Come what may. Because it's got to be something. You've got to hope in something. You've got to have faith in something. And where's your love? What are you spending your love on? Because that was the 3 things that was transformed in the life of Mary because of the resurrection of Jesus. And that is the 3 things that Jesus can resurrect in your life. It might be that you've heard the Easter message again and again and again, and maybe you still don't get it. Probably told you this story, tell you again, probably tell it every Easter. Don't let on, treat it as though it's a new story. Laugh when you have to. Helps me. I remember at Stonehaven, a young girl coming out of the church beaming on Easter Sunday because she said, I've got it. I've got the message, she says. And I was all on cloud 9 until she says, John, you should preach that sermon every Easter Sunday. And I hadn't the heart to tell her. I did. And I did. She'd been in that church in my time 6 years. And she had never heard in her heart the transforming power of the one God who can not only raise somebody from the dead, from the one God who can not only create everything that we see, the one God who has created everything we are. Raising someone from the dead is easy when you see it's him that does it. You might be in that position. I don't know about this Jesus stuff. If that's you, then this morning start by realizing that none of the followers of Jesus had hope. If you've got no hope at all, that's okay. Neither did they. None of the followers of Jesus had faith. You know, we all say, wouldn't it have been great to have been with Jesus? It would have been terrible because he never answers questions. Folk keep coming to him with questions, and he tells little stories. Now, he's not like me, who gives a brilliant exegesis of the story every week, and fill-ins. He just tells a story. What was he talking about? I don't know. And then, just to put pressure on you, he says, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. So when they get outside at coffee, could you hear? Oh, I could hear it. Did you not get it? Oh, I got it. I've got ears that can hear. I'm not a numpty. And that's what he did. But when it came to his crucifixion, none of the disciples had faith. So if you've not got any faith, do not leave this place this morning without asking for some. And God will give it. And at their best, all the love that they had was love for a dead man. Now, most of us have got love for dead men and women. And that doesn't decry that love. But what Jesus did in his resurrection, he says, I can give you a love will never, ever, ever leave you. Yeah. I can give you a love that irrespective of what happens to your family, irrespective of what kind of job you get or not, irrespective of what kind of wife you get or she divorces you, irrespective of whatever happens, I can give you a love that says I will never. And that Jesus offers every single one of us. And it was Easter Day that changed that. Easter Day says that the God who created every single one of us, the God who created all that we hold dear, the God who created all that we are, loves you. You've got to see that today. I know we did it 2 weeks ago and we were so good. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, we sort of turned into a Pentecostal church for 30 seconds. I think we should do it on Easter Day again. You know, folk went away home talking about it. I know they did. And that's what we're going to say. And that's what we've got to get this morning. I want you to say, God loves me. Man, you see that? The wave of sound that hit me there was phenomenal. You know, let's say it again. God loves me.
God loves me.
God loves me. That's the truth. You know, that's just the truth that you get when you sort of read the scriptures and you find that this God, this amazing God, this God who's beyond our comprehension in many ways, the one thing we know about him is that he loves us. Do you know how much he loves you? This much. And that's why today we celebrate. Amen.